Okay, so we're recording now, but I can always clip whatever, so don't worry. Okay. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Oh my god, I'm sweating. Of course I'd be wearing gray. I mean, I'm not gonna be lifting my arms up.
Hit stains.
Yeah, big sweat stains over here. All right. So hello here. My name's Krissa, in case you don't know me, and we're bringing a special edition here to the monthly newsletter. And today we have Caitlin. We have Caitlin here. Yay!
Hi! What's up?
I'm so excited that you're here. And I'm really excited to talk to you about nutrition. But before we do that, I just kind of want to get into a little bit about Caitlin. We worked together before, previously at a gym, and she was a personal trainer. She is a group fitness instructor, and she's also a cycle instructor as well. She's a nutritionist, and she's created her own brand, Footloose Fitness, which is based all around body positivity, and especially based around women. So I just love her to death, and she's here, and I'm super excited. How are you? Woo! She's high kicking internally. Okay, so let's get down into. Do you have anything else to say, Caitlin?
No, I'm so happy to be here to help educate you guys a little bit more on some of these questions that Chris has been polling you guys with. So
yeah, I asked a bunch of people, and this is what a bunch of people want to know. So I'm interested too. So my first question basically is, how did you become a nutritionist, and how has your relationship with food changed in these past years?
So you know, I think I would say, like, just dealing with a lot of clients myself and hearing a lot of their stories and past struggles, things like that. I like to explain to them that I've also been in their shoes before when it comes to food and restricting and being stressed around it, things like that. So, you know, I like to explain to people that I've been there before. I know what it feels like. And, you know, that was my goal, is to try to help more women, or even some men that deal with it too. It's not just women, but all of these just barriers that we create around food, you know? So, you know, my goal was just to, like, shine some light on the subject so people can live their life without having that restrictive diet, or, you know, saying there's good and bad foods when we know there aren't, and just opening their eyes to that too, so that they can live their life, you know, to the fullest. So, you know, for me, when I was younger, I probably dealt with, like, a lot of food issues from probably, you know, my late teens, like, you know, right around high school is probably when it started. And it carried with me until, you know, after college, mid 20s, probably, you know, like 25, 26 is where I really started focusing more on, you know, I got more into fitness. I was always kind of a runner, and but I started lifting more, things like that, learning more about, like, how to build more muscle, how you need to eat, and all of that. You know, so it, you know, having the strength training piece, tying that in with nutrition, I think changed my outlook on food so much. And, you know, I used to restrict, I used to run my calories off, I used to binge, you know, you name it, I did it. And now I just have such a better relationship with food that I don't have any restriction. I eat what I want. I know what types of foods I'm eating. And, you know, I've probably been this way for about the last 2 years. It's definitely a mindset thing that you have to work with. It doesn't happen overnight, you know? But anyone can take those steps to living their life without restriction. And that's like my main goal that I teach my clients. But anyone can do it. It's just putting the effort and the willingness to want to do it as well. So,
yeah. And having someone guide them that's doing it in a healthy way, mm-hmm. not only physically, but mentally too.
Right. Like no quick fixes, you know, that stuff doesn't work because eventually you're going to go back to your old habits, you know? So, yeah.
Speaking of quick fixes, since the New Year's coming up, I notice a lot of people start doing different diet trends and things like that, like keto, Atkins, Whole 30, all that kind of stuff. What's your opinion on those?
So my opinion is really like, do they work? Yep, probably they do. Does it teach you anything? Yeah, it teaches you to restrict something, you know? So if you're doing keto, it teaches you to restrict carbohydrates from your diet. If you're doing the Whole 30, it teaches you to cut out or restrict, you know, gluten, sugar, dairy, alcohol, like all things that there's nothing wrong with those types of food. It's just, you know, they should just be eaten or drink in moderation, you know, anything, you know, it's like, yeah, like you said, Whole 30, keto, any type of detox, you know, 3-day detox, like those things really don't do anything. It teaches you to starve yourself for 3 days. And then once you're done with that, then what happens? You have no way to move on with the rest of your life. Instead, you know, I try to preach and promote, like, let's learn healthy habits. If you're going to take time to invest in how to do keto, mm-hmm. what are the right recipes to do for Whole 30? Because I'm going to do it for 30 days. And then what happens after that? You've learned nothing. You know, instead, take the time to learn why you need protein, learn why you need carbohydrates, learn what healthy fats do to your body and how your body, you know, uses all three of those on a daily basis and why you need, like, learn what types of foods are a protein, are a carb, are a fat. And you can live the rest of your life without having to restrict alcohol or, you know, sugar or cupcakes, you know, desserts, if that's your go-to, like, you don't have to give those things up because, you know, just because your diet tells you to, like, or you can learn how you can have those certain foods in your diet, you know? So, you know, for me, like, I always try to preach how much, like, those things, yeah, for the time, you may see some results, you may lose a little weight, but eventually none of those things are sustainable because eventually life's going to happen and you're going to want to have a drink and you're going to go out with friends and there's going to be fun meals around. And instead of saying no to all those things and figure out how you can incorporate those in your life, right. You know?
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it.
yeah, I was going to say, I agree wholeheartedly with that because it's not, it's more of finding that balance between, yeah, you want to live your life, you want to have friends and be able to have treats or whatever, but just not overindulge in it. How do you find, so for someone that has maybe been dieting or been restricting for a while, what do you find, like, how do you change that person's mindset into, is it education for first and foremost? Is that what you focus on?
Yeah. So it's definitely like an education thing. And, you know, I'll ask them, what are certain foods that you like to eat? Or what foods do you feel like are considered bad? You know, and a lot of people will say, well, pizza or alcohol and, I snack on Cheez-Its during the day, or like, I love Cheez-Its, you know, it's like, okay, so like, let's talk about how we can incorporate that in your diet.
Yeah.
You know, like instead of being like, you can't have that.
Yeah.
How can we fit that into your diet? You know? So if you like pizza, let's start looking at pizza as like, okay, it's made of bread. That's the crust, toppings that you put on it. Sauce isn't like really a big, you know, calorie maker. It's, you know, and then you got cheese. So you got bread and you got cheese. Cheese is a healthy fat. Bread is a carbohydrate. Let's start looking at your food as, okay, pizza is a fat and a carb. and you need a protein now. So let's balance that meal out. So maybe you have some chicken that you put on top of the pizza. It's probably not enough protein for that meal, but maybe you can have some on the side, or, yeah, you know, where you have two slices of pizza and a side salad, and maybe there's like some chicken on top of that salad. So that way, like, you're still enjoying pizza and things are balanced and you're not looking at it as like, it's a bad thing. I shouldn't be doing this. Oh, now I feel guilty. Yeah. I encourage, like, you know, trying to incorporate those quote unquote foods we think are bad into your diet on a weekly basis, because the more you can get over that fear, you know, even writing down foods that you feel like are like your fear foods, mm-hmm, if you write them down, try to incorporate them in your week, because that, you know, by the end of a couple of months, you're going to be like, I'm having a cupcake, like, cool, or I'm having pizza, and you don't feel the guilt around it because you have it all the time.
I love that. Instead of, you know, restricting and having this fear of food and fear of like certain bad, quote unquote, bad foods, you instead, mm-hmm, kind of like sprinkle them in a different way. And like, you, right, incorporate them into their life.
Cause the more that they say, I can't have pizza, I can't have pizza, I used to do it. Like, that's, I used to live my life that way. And I would be like, I can't have a dessert, I can't have a cookie, I can't have this, I can't have it. The moment it's in front of you, you end up having six slices of pizza when you could have easily just had one and moved on, or two and moved on, you know, and instead you create this binge because you're telling yourself you can't have it. And then once you have one and you have two, you're going to say, oh, well, I've already had two. I've messed everything up. I might as well keep going. And then I'll just start back on Monday. Mm-hmm. Instead, switching that mindset, you know, looking at your food as not good and bad, and looking at what type of food and what it does for your body, will start to switch that mindset so that you're not having these negative feelings around them. And that's what I like to teach, is like, you know, what are your favorite foods that you quote, you know, think are bad for you? Let's figure out how we can keep those in our diet every week.
And you know, you talk a lot about, especially on Footloose Fitness page, you talk a lot about carbs. And in the fitness industry, if you've been working in the fitness industry, you know, you hear it through clients all the time, carbs get a bad rap. People are scared of carbs. I think their carbs are coming back a little bit, which is good.
Yeah.
Could you give an example, or what is your information that you want to talk about with quote unquote good carbs, bad carbs, or how to incorporate carbs into your diet, and why do you need them?
Yeah. So basically, carbohydrates, what they do is they bring us energy. They make us feel good. They make us feel less fatigued. They help fuel our workouts. You feel better during your workouts. And I like to look at the approach as like, a carb is a carb. Like, yes, there are two different types of carbohydrates. There is a complex carbohydrate, which is a slower, all it means is it's a slower digesting carbohydrate. So it provides you with more energy for a longer amount of time. Mm-hmm. And typically they also like are a little bit higher in fiber. You know, they're mainly like, you know, some types of rice and pastas, bread, oats, like things like that. They're more complex. And then there's another type that's more simple carbohydrates. You know, they're faster digesting. So it's like a quick carbohydrate, something like fruit or veggies. But it's also those types of carbohydrates that are, you know, not the ones that we look at as like good. It's more sugars and candy, cookies, donuts, things like that, more processed foods. Mm-hmm. But again, there's really no difference between which one is right or wrong. Because again, if you look at the simple sugars, there's simple carbs. Those are more like the ones that are made from sugars and things like that. But fruit falls underneath that. So we're not going to cut fruits out of our diet. We're going to continue to have those. So the way that I look at it is, a carb is a carb. You know, you look at your cupcake as being, it's a carbohydrate. There is a little bit of sugar. Sugar is a carbohydrate. There's frosting. There's probably a little bit of fat, you know, carb, fat, and then we add a protein. Or, you know, it's whatever you want to have, but I prefer that you balance those carbohydrates with another macronutrient. So, you know, not just having oats for breakfast, because that's just carbohydrates. It's like, how else can we spruce up this meal by adding protein and healthy fat to that? You know, so getting away from the picture of having good and bad carbs, it's more just like, if you have fruit that is going to, you know, maybe be quicker digested, it might spike your blood sugar a little bit. If you pair your fruit with a protein and a healthy fat, you're going to feel that energy last a little bit longer. It's just when you pair them separately, it has more of a negative effect.
So you look at it from a holistic point of view. Like, you're looking at it as, how can we create this to be a balance? How can we create this to actually be almost like a meal?
Right. Yeah. So, like, instead, you know, sometimes, like, I'll ask my clients, you know, what are we having for breakfast, or what are we having for lunch, or things like that. And, you know, their go-to is like, you know, I had overnight oats, you know, that's like the biggest go-to breakfast. When, you know, so we're adding oats and then we're adding a banana on top of that. And, you know, maybe like a little bit of protein powder. Okay. But now what we're looking at is that meal is just filled with carbohydrates. Fruit is a carb. It's a simple carb. And then we have oats, which is a complex carb. You want to figure out how you can maximize that meal to get the biggest bang for your buck. So maybe it's half a, you know, it's a quarter cup of oats and you still want that banana. Maybe you do half a banana and a full scoop of protein powder. So that way it maximizes how much protein you're having. It's not like a huge amount of carbohydrates. You know, there's nothing wrong with carbs. It's just that most people tend to overeat them instead of incorporating more protein and healthy fats into their meals.
Yeah.
End up having a giant meal that's just filled with carbs instead of a balance and everything of everything.
Yep.
So
I love it. See, this is why I love this girl. Okay. So we had a question about optimal times to eat. I hear this all the time. Optimal times to eat. A lot of people hear, you know, you shouldn't eat before bedtime. Obviously you want to listen to your doctor or whatever your doctor says, but generally speaking, do you have an opinion on that?
I would just say, you know, as long as it depends again on your day, you know, I mean, some people, you know, will do smaller meals throughout the day. Some people will do bigger meals throughout the day. It depends on how those meals look like for you. It depends on when you work out during the day. Think like there's a lot of things that go into it. So there's really no set time. I know, like, I remember back in the day when like Oprah used to be like, close your refrigerator, lock your kitchen at 6:30, because anything that goes into your body after 6:30 just instantly turns to fat, when that is like, so not the case. Like, you can still eat at night. You know, if you're only supposed to eat, you know, 1800 calories a day and you're at 1500 calories and you have something at 9 o'clock at night that has 200 calories in it, you've only eaten 1700 calories throughout your day. So you haven't gone over your calories. That's the biggest thing. So like night eating, things like that, you know, if you're under what you're supposed to be eating, nothing's going to happen to your body. If you continuously overeat like 2000 calories at 9 o'clock at night, yeah, maybe, because you're over your calorie intake. You might notice some type of weight gain or things like that. But I mean, it really depends on the person, your schedule, all of that stuff, but there's no like set time. Like, really the timing around food doesn't really make a difference whether you're gaining muscle or losing fat.
And it also goes back to, okay, how, you know, back to what you were saying before, what was your meal planning like before? How are you balancing out your meals before 7 o'clock when Harpo's telling you to close your fridge? Like, what were you doing everything before? So,
yeah. So, and like another thing too, is like the biggest thing I hear from people and my clients is like, oh, by like three, that timing between like 3 and 5, I'm like a monster. I want like anything, you know, And usually when things like that happen, it's like, A, we're missing something from our diet, whatever we had throughout the rest of the day. Maybe most of your meals were more heavier in carbs. So you're lacking in protein, you're lacking in fat, things aren't balanced. So your blood sugar is like this all day, or you're just under eating in general, you know? So like having a snack at 3 is, there's nothing wrong with that. Even if you're going to eat at 6 o'clock, like that's fine. Like I typically, you know, like to, you know, and again, it depends on the person, but you know, if, you know, I'll tell my clients, like have 4 meals a day, you know, that like you have something in the morning, then something that gets you to lunch, then yeah, that 3 o'clock time, eat something, because you're not going to feel as, you know, starving at like that 6 o'clock time. That's when you want to eat anything in sight. If you miss that window at like 3 to 5 that like you didn't eat when you should have, like, that's when you start to crave a lot of the carbs, the sugars, the salty, the crunchy, and then it's a disaster, you know?
Yeah. Then everything's in the window.
Yeah.
Do you kind of, I hear people talk about real hunger versus habit hunger.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think like the habit hunger is definitely a real thing. And we just create these habits. Like at night, we're just like, oh, I need something sweet. But, and sometimes maybe you do, but again, if that's also the case as well, then let's think about what's happening throughout the rest of the day. Like, have you had enough carbohydrates? Have you had enough protein? Things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the mindless stuff of just like watching TV, or that's when you want to get the bag of chips out, or the wine and things like that. But, you know, sometimes just trying to occupy your mind with something else. Like, so if you are watching TV, maybe you also are like knitting, or you're doing something else with your hands, or, you know, it can be just like more finding something else to occupy yourselves instead of just like sitting mindlessly watching TV. That's where you get bored. That's where, you know, it becomes a habit that like, when I turn the TV on at night, I'm going to start having something to eat. You know, or I also teach my clients too, that like, if it's something that you really like doing, you know, you can just have like maybe a smaller part of your dinner. Maybe you don't have as many carbs at dinner. So if you feel like you want something because it's just, I don't know, it's what you do and that's okay too, then you have a little bit, close the bag and you walk away. That's it. Yeah. You don't spit the bag, you know what I mean? But, and then like real hunger, you know, like you'll physically feel like you are hungry, you know, like pains and things like that. Like that's the real stuff. But I think habit hunger is definitely like a real thing too, you know, but it's, again, it's one of those things that it's like switching your mindset. It takes time. If you want to create a new habit, this has already been a habit, but if you're trying to break that habit, it takes time, and it's trying to work on it every single day too. So.
Yeah. And that habit could have been happening for who knows how long, 10, mm-hmm. 20 years. So it might take a little bit more time.
Yeah. It's harder to break. So you have to give it time. It's not going to happen overnight. And just because if you go one day or maybe 2 days without doing it, and because like, you know, on the third day you had something, it doesn't mean that you failed either. It just means like, okay, next day you try again, you know, and keep working at it.
So a lot of my clients, speaking of habits, they'll like a lot of the guys, I'm not calling out guys, we do it too as ladies. They'll come home after a long day at work, have a glass of wine, have beer, whatever, to wind down. I'm all about balance. I know you are too, but can you talk a little bit about what alcohol does to your metabolism in particular?
So basically it like shuts off fat burning, like 7% of your fat burning.
Oh, I mean, 7%. Wow.
Yeah. So, and yeah, like you said, I'm all about balance and things like that. I try to teach my clients to, you know, limit it to 3 drinks a week if you can, you know, if that's like your really big thing, then, and you really want to see changes in your body, like that's probably going to be one thing that we got to kind of limit and watch. But there are things too, you know, like, so if you, you know, want to have wine, maybe, you know, like a serving of wine is usually like 4 ounces, which isn't a lot, but if you wanted to have it every day, you could have a little bit of wine to get that fix every day. Instead, like sometimes you just pour it and you have no idea how much you're having and you think you're out last when you probably had 3 servings, you know, you just feel better in general. I think limiting it, but again, I am all about the balance. So if it's one of those things that's just like, you can't live without, that's what I try to teach my clients, is like having a small amount every night. If that's what you want to do, that's what you choose. You know, you just incorporate that in your daily intake of food, you know? Or you know it too, like if you're really only doing 4 ounces, it's a lot less than probably what you were doing before. Or you could mix it with like a seltzer and a splash of the wine, like something like that too, to kind of just, if it's the flavor that you like, or just the idea, again, it goes back to habit, just the idea of sitting with a glass of wine, you know, that's also an idea too. But yeah, it does, it definitely plays a toll on your metabolism, and just, you know, one glass leads to another, which then also can sometimes lead to, you know, food choices that are higher in carbs, higher in fats, things like that.
I think that's great. I think that's great. It's like, that's what I like though, is that you're not restricting completely. You're just like, okay, let's be a little bit more mindful about this action.
Right.
You educate. And I think that's what's so important, is getting the education and that knowledge, and like handing it to people that way, instead of saying, this is what you should eat, this is what you shouldn't. Cause at the end of the day, everyone's different.
Everyone's different, you know, and everyone's nutrition is going to look different too. So it's very individualized. It's not, you know, you can't just give someone a meal plan that says, here, eat egg whites and eat these oats and this bread or this for lunch, when like someone could be like, I don't like any of that. Okay. So then we got to figure out what we can work with that you do like, and how we can turn these into great meals that are going to optimize your nutrition a lot. Exactly. So.
Okay. So we've touched on a lot today. I have loved all these topics. Would you say you have 3, and I know this is hard to do, 3 general tips that you find help your clients with, mostly, I would say 85% of people's concern, fat loss. So 3 tips to fat loss, what would you say?
I would say knowing how much you're actually eating, taking the time to learn that, tracking for a little while, even though it is, and, you know, definitely can be a tedious task. But if you think you're only eating like 1500 calories, like you could be overeating, or you could be severely under eating. So both of those things are not going to help you with fat loss. So you need to make sure that you're eating enough for your body. So tracking is always like a good thing to start with, so that someone can help you and guide you with that. And making sure that your meals are also balanced too. So making sure you're eating enough protein, you're eating enough carbohydrates, and you're eating enough fat. Because it's, you know, even though we are talking in terms of fat loss, it's not always about doing less, eating less. It's actually sometimes you need to do more. So having a good, you know, understanding for that is good. I also always like, I mean, strength training is like one of the biggest things for fat loss, with nutrition too. And we're talking more about nutrition, but like, if you have a good balance between strength training, you know, lifting weights, that helps you build more muscle. Okay. The more muscle you have, the more you can eat, things like that. Little balance of cardio, doesn't need to be an hour on the treadmill. It can be like a 20 minute walk, whatever it is that looks like for you, a nice balance with that. But also like 80% of the time eating good quality foods and 20% of the time having foods that are a little bit more fun so that you live your life a little bit more balanced and things like that.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
And then I would also say like the third thing too is something that doesn't even have to do with like nutrition or working out is, you know, seeing what your biofeedback looks like. So, you know, your biofeedback can just be digestion. Are you getting enough sleep at night? Are you drinking enough water? Like, how do you feel during the day? Are you recovering from workouts? Like, there's so many other things that like, it's not always just about what's your nutrition? What's your workout look like in order to lose fat? You know, if your stress is like through the roof, you are most likely not going to lose fat. If you're not sleeping enough at night, you're most likely not going to lose fat. So you could be perfect with nutrition and workouts. And if you're not recovering enough during sleep, your body's going to take a toll from that and you're not going to see the results that you want to see. So I would say that's probably like a important factor too.
So she even gave us a bonus. She gave us tracking. You said balanced meals, strength training always helps, and biofeedback.
So right.
She gave us a bonus.
Yeah, throw you with that fourth.
Woo! My favorite number. This has been absolutely amazing.
I know. I loved this.
So informative. And I just love you so much. And I really, really, really appreciate your time and taking time out of your day. Caitlin's got a lot going on. If you haven't checked out her Instagram, Footloose Fitness, you should definitely check that out. She gives so many different tips. On her stories, on her posts, all that kind of good stuff about nutrition, about fitness. She's currently expecting right now. Yeah. Little Beanie is in there. In a way.
Big changes. So,
what's that?
Big changes.
Yeah, big changes. So we're excited for her and Maddie too. And I'm just very thankful that you took time to come and spread your knowledge.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. I loved it.
All righty, my friends. Well, I guess that's all for today.
Bye.
Bye.